following is sponsored by Brandon Johnson State Farm. For all of your insurance and investment needs, call 757-264-6267 or visit BrandonJohnsonAgency.com.
The Big Blue.
Monarch Nation, welcome to another Victory Sunday. Old Dominion crushes Coastal Carolina 47-7. But before we talk about the game, we got to introduce my co-host Aaron and some wonderful guests today. We got Garrick, the Duke of Discipline, is in the building. And of course, Justice from the G5 Hive is here to talk some Old Dominion football. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing awesome, man. It's funny that you talked about the Coastal crushes, because that's what Steve's dad was trying to freaking feed me all day before we went into the stadium.
Yeah.
They are pretty good.
That's right. You hang around our tailgate, your glass is never going to be empty.
Yeah, I'm just glad to have fun football to watch on Saturdays in person now. It makes the drive down from Northern Virginia that much better. I don't have to drive back angry. So I'm stoked. Let's keep the train rolling.
I like the blowouts too, right? Like, we're not sweating the one score game.
I mean, yesterday on campus, it was this perfect weather. We got to see so many great alumni back on campus. We got to talk to Thomas DeMarco, Taylor Heineke, Brian Morrison, just dudes that have had an impact on building this program. And it was just a great day to be on campus and enjoy a route of a team that's had our number the last couple of years. 619 total yards offensively, 317 through the air, 302 on the ground, just a complete balanced effort offensively. And then defensively, just a complete domination. 108, we held them to 3.6 yards per pass, 2.2 on the ground. Just all three phases were clicking yesterday, and it was a beautiful thing because – and I think we all got to kind of try to enjoy it, because how many of these games are really guaranteed for us to just have a perfect, almost perfect day? I mean, we've been through so much hell this last decade.
Yeah, nothing's guaranteed.
And we're finally somewhere awesome.
Monarch Nation, I mean, the fans deserve this. The fans have earned this. It's been a challenging time since that one win season, a COVID season. So we've earned this, but with earning it comes responsibility. We need to fill the stadium. I don't want to jump too far ahead because obviously we've got two road games, but that next home game, the sellout is not enough. Butts need to be in seats. And you know what? Do everyone a solid. Leave the tailgates a couple minutes early and be in your seats for the start of the game. Let's make that place really, really difficult to play in for the opponent.
The next two home games are pretty big, right? Homecoming and then the Thursday night game on ESPN, right? Primetime?
Yep. And then the Troy game on Thursday night is also Military Appreciation Week and Toys for Tots. So we got to start pumping that a little bit. Toys for Tots is coming. It'll be Troy, the Thursday night game.
Might even have Sports Center on campus. Who knows?
Yeah. As long as they bring some toys.
I actually bought some toys the other day specifically for that.
Hey, man, if people find stuff on sale right now, put them aside, you know?
Absolutely.
Now, we like to usually go through some different groups or players that need to be shouted out. But given that we were so ridiculous in all three phases, it's a long list this week. I think obviously you start up front with the O-line because they did their job. The defense only got to Colton once all game. They've just been fantastic all season, setting the edge and just kind of dominating in the trenches.
We talked last week about picking your poison. That offense is just really difficult to stop right now. And that's when still without getting really any offensive production from the tight end position. I thought we had one for a second with that little jump pass, but turned out that was to a running back, which was awesome. But yeah, last night was so much fun.
Two freshmen really stood out to me. Jackson Forrest and Hunter Malecki, man. They had some big time plays yesterday.
They opened up in the post game saying career day everything for Naeem, and which he did.
Yeah, that was a funny moment when Eric, you know, said kind of you know, Jerome Carter set his, you know, all-time tackles, and then AR all-time everything. It was a light moment.
But Aaron, I want to go back to that jump pass, because first time we've seen it, last year we used it with the tight ends, but this year, like this, that play yesterday was just beautifully drawn up. Hargrove is in the backfield next to Colton, takes off on the snap right through the line, completely uncovered. Colton kind of gives that defense mixed and pause with that little step up, and he's got green grass ahead of him. It was really a beautifully executed play and a great play call.
That play does not work without patience. You really have to sell it. If you force it, you do it a little too fast, it just kind of all breaks down. But when you get the timing right and you got a guy that can run, no one was catching him. I mean, that's got to be scary for a defensive coordinator and what he's doing with his linebackers, even his safeties there. If you just you cheat in a little bit too much, you don't play it right, then you got a 90-yard touchdown going.
I think that's a part of the offense I'd like to see us do more, right? Use the running backs in the passing game. If we don't have that threat at tight end, then we should be using the running backs more, and hopefully that's something we'll see as the season goes on. We know both Hargrove and Markai are very – I haven't really seen Traquan do it, but those other two guys, like, we've seen them do it throughout practice. So,
yeah, and I think you talk about balance, Mike. I mean, that play specifically is – you can't run that without balance, because the defense has to come up for the run and then plays the pass. Ultimately, it's a little bit too late, but you're not getting that balance unless the offensive line is performing at the level that they are right now.
And that patience is not just from Colton, but from the running back, of selling it where it looks like he's blocking or whatever. He does just enough patience on both sides there. But when both of them get it right, it's a thing of beauty.
Contravion had his best game as a Monarch yesterday. 47 yards on the ground, 82 through the air, 80 on that one catch. But over 127 yards by him. Really key addition this year. But Traquan Jones, man, every game he just produces. We expected him to be a good player. I don't think any of us expected him to be the bell cow back that he's becoming.
No. And one thing that we've been talking about all season is balance. So we just talked about balance in a play, but balance from passing the ball, running the ball, which one comes first? You know, chicken or the egg. At this point with this team, I don't know that it really matters as long as they've got the balance, but talking about 317 yards passing, 302 yards rushing. It doesn't get much more balanced than that. As a defense, it's really, really difficult. You're going to win a lot of games if you can do that. I mean, what are we were talking about it before we got on the call. How many yards, offensive yards, are we averaging this year per game? Like almost 500?
498. Looked it up earlier.
Yeah, 498, Garrett. I mean, that's
498, and we're number 10 in the country.
That's pretty awesome.
And the beauty of it is we have the balance on the defensive side as well. You don't route a team like this if the defense isn't balling out, and they balled out yesterday again. You mentioned Jackson Forrest and Hunter Malecki, but there's a lot of guys we can name right now, like Jerome Carter, Lucas Strzok, Keyshawn Thomas. Keyshawn has stepped up big with these injuries to Koa and obviously Jason's retirement. But, I mean, he gets six tackles, two solo yesterday. He gets five, four solo with a sack and two tackles for loss. We get four sacks yesterday. 11 tackles for loss. I mean, these are numbers we've never really seen at Old Dominion before.
It's so many people are stepping up. So many people are stepping up. I mean, we talked with Koa before the season, and obviously, you know, his brother Seth is on the team. And it was interesting that Koa had told us that when the season started last year, that Seth like wasn't even on the team, essentially. And talk about setting the tone yesterday. I rewatched a little of the game this morning. I mean, Seth started the game out with a bang, making two impactful plays right at the beginning. Really set the tone. And we kind of never looked back.
It's pretty amazing because you think about essentially three of our top four linebackers, what we expected to be three of the top four going into the season, didn't play yesterday. And like so many guys have stepped up throughout the season. Like, we talked about how strong that linebacking group was, but they also had the depth, and we're seeing that play out here early in the season.
And as strong as we talked about it, though, if we said right now we came on not knowing what we know for the season to date, let's say really Koa wasn't going to have played at all. Jason will have played the first game and retired. And how this played out, do we think the defensive results would be what they actually have been? I mean, if we're being honest, I don't think that we do. And it's been really, really encouraging to watch.
And you didn't even mention Mario Thompson, who's been hurt most of the season. He comes back yesterday, plays a little bit, but I don't think any of us would have expected this if we knew those types of injuries would be going on this long. But next man up mentality has just been working really well for this unit, and it speaks a lot. I think we say it every episode, but development and recruiting by Coach Seiler, he's just getting it done. And all of his staff is getting it done on the defensive side of the ball, where guy goes down, next man up is still performing, maybe even outperforming the guy ahead of him. Jahlil Colberth, though, continues to produce at linebacker. He said something to me and Justice in the summer that I never really put much thought to. I thought it was kind of ambitious. But he said, my goal is the college football playoff. And me and Justice didn't really think much of it. We were like, well, with Indiana, Virginia Tech on the schedule, Liberty, GMU, can we go through a season where we only have one loss and have an opportunity to be there? And he's proven it right where he's been proven right. Where you have that opportunity, it's very real for us right now. We just have to keep producing, keep focused, and on the main goal. Can't get distracted.
I mean, the culture in that building is incredible. I mean, Ricky came in from the beginning. That's one of his pillars. And you take a guy like Jason, done for a career. Yeah, that's going to hit you in the depth chart. But think of that from like a mental perspective. Like that's a leader in the clubhouse. And he's gone. And that linebacker crew has just performed. You got to give the secondary their flowers too. They perform too. I mean, Mario Easter put on his wide receiver hands yesterday for that ball. So, I mean, the whole defensive side of the ball, Siler's always done a great job, but there is all that uncertainty in almost every position other than quarterback. And these guys have just performed, but I think it really starts with the culture. It's a really non-thought of thing. And Ricky's done a great job with keeping that going, and Jahlil's right. We even kind of doubted it.
Yeah, last night I asked in the post game presser, so at this point in the season, what feels different to you guys? Is there something that feels different? And Colton and Rome and AR were like, you know, everybody's together. Everybody, like, they're expecting excellence at this point. Like, they know what they've got to do. They're confident that everybody's going to do what they're supposed to be doing, like their individual 1-0s each day. And so you've got the going 1-0 each Saturday, but during the week leading up, there's lots of 1-0s. It's all about the attention to detail. And they're getting all the attention to detail, or almost all the attention to detail things right. There's a level of confidence and togetherness with this team that we have not seen in a long time.
Yeah. I think they echoed that several times throughout the night. Even Ricky talked about it, how like the team is just, you know, has one mind, one vision. They block out the outside noise. Probably the favorite thing, I like what Ricky said last night, was when someone asked him about the national media and getting votes and stuff. He's like, well, I didn't care about him when they didn't know who we were. Why should all of a sudden give him credit now for them acknowledging who we are? You know,
like, I think that was right. David Hall. I think that was David Hall again.
But yeah, like, you know, it's been building for the last several weeks in terms of national media attention. But like, to Ricky's point, he's right. Like, those people doubted him from the beginning, so he doesn't really care what they think now.
Yeah. Still disappointed that the AP poll has not given us any votes yet. Amater, Unlucky, and Jackson Forrest all got their first career sacks last night. Ahmad Foster, big man from Philly, his second year here, redshirt freshman. What are we doing here, Aaron?
No, that was just a subliminal message that flashed up there for a second. It was kind of unintentional, but
okay.
Anybody who listens to the post game presser,
Ricky might loved make more Aaron's sense shoes. Now. Ricky loved Aaron's shoes last night.
These things right here. Interesting enough, Mike Jones saw them as well. Yesterday, and I think told Matt Hamilton that he wanted them for the sidelines during games. Sorry, that was an accident. I didn't mean to get us off track.
Oh, you're good, brother. Speaking of basketball, I think we have a little video from their performance on the field last night.
Oh, we did, yeah.
Push play on that, Aaron?
Absolutely. We can have fun with this. Because Zach Wiggins trying to get it. Jared Turner and Jordan Battle coming off. Elijah, he's just like, I'm just here for t-shirts. Scotty's waiting for you. Garrett's about to have his big moment.
Was that Jordan in the back?
Jordan.
He looked like he belonged.
Jordan was getting it. And you know what? And even when he didn't know the moves, he had his own.
Yeah.
He sold it. He sold it. Hats like off to Jordan.
As a tall human being, when you got no choreography, you look bad. I felt bad for some of those guys when I was watching. I was like, man, I'm glad I'm not a basketball player out there just trying to remember what to do.
They probably got about 10 minutes.
Hoop was back there.
It just goes with everything that's going on now. Everybody's having fun. Everybody's having fun with what this team is doing. Is just contagious across the board to all other programs, and hopefully we can see it on the hardwood too.
Coop is in the back reinforcing some stereotypes about white guys dancing there.
Although we've been told that, you know, he's got the swag. The only thing I can't tell is if he's got the overbite going on.
That he does. So, did anyone catch Tim Beck's comments after the game?
I did watch it. Yeah,
man, defeated. I mean, he said it. Got to go to the drawing board again. I don't know what to do. Like, I'm surprised that he still has a job, to be honest. And I've seen their message boards over the last few weeks, like talking about exactly how he's been acting in these post-game conferences. Whether this is their third loss by 38 or more or something like that. And yeah, I mean, the guy's just, he doesn't know what to do. Dropping balls, fumbles, just really just pinning it all on the players. He even acknowledged, I know that falls on me as a head coach, but man, that was rough to watch.
Yeah, it feels like last night was the first time, I guess, he accepted some responsibility based on what their fans said. But yeah, he kind of said it falls on me. But he was someone that I expected was on the hot seat before the season ever started. And I don't think he'll be there next year.
Yeah, he was, when we talked, Mike, at the beginning of the season, he, I think in David's article, he had him pretty high.
He did, but I told him he should have been higher in that episode we did with David. Because I thought he should have had the hottest seat in the conference.
Yeah,
well, it's playing out right now.
But he said one thing that I kind of liked, where he goes, "We're missing tackles, we're missing blocks, and we just fed the monster tonight. The monster being Old Dominion football. It's cool to hear other coaches talk about the program that way and how good we are at this point in time." What's that?
Put that on a t-shirt. The big blue beast again. You know, we can do a 2025 version of it.
That's right.
It's not a bad idea.
I like it.
Any other things that we should talk about with this game? Because, I mean, we could really go deep down the rabbit hole on so many different players and positions. Obviously, the receiving core, Trey Brown had a big night. We already talked about AR having a huge night.
But, that's all I was going to say.
Is there any other topics?
I hate to say this, and it's like it doesn't sound right saying it this way, but like the one thing I was really hoping for, and I wouldn't necessarily say it was a disappointment, but like I was really hoping to see a shutout. I think we've only ever had one shutout in our history. And that was a 6-0 win over Charlotte back like in 2017. So I was hoping to see the shutout. It didn't happen, but that's not to take away from the awesome game that the defense played.
Yeah, and I was just going to highlight, this is now 2 weeks in a row that our defense again has either just over 200 or less than 200 yards of total offense by our opponents. And that just goes to show that these guys are absolutely balling out. And then back to the receiver situation, we can have one guy show up 1 week. It's going to be a different guy the next week. It's going to be a different guy the following week. All that uncertainty at the beginning of the season is out the window. So, yeah, keep feeding the monster. That's for sure.
So the game notes, it says we held them to 189 yards. It's the fewest against an FBS team in program history. So, basically, our two best defensive performance in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, with last night being even better than the week before. But I think it's more impressive is the weather was so bad last week that kind of naturally probably helped a little bit. But the weather was perfect last night. So, great overall performance. What I was going to mention before is the last few weeks, we really talked about the emergence of Ja'Cory Thomas and Trey Brown, that they had kind of solidified themselves as 1 and 2, whatever way you want to go. And, you know, AR came in this week and said, hold my beer, and made everybody go, there's three legitimate monsters there that can take you down at any point. And each of those guys, I mean, 295 yards for AR, 302 yards for Trey, and 343 for Ja'Cory at this point in the season with 9 touchdowns between them. Good luck, defenses. I mean, who do you stop?
Yeah.
And hats off to Colton for finding them all and not just looking at one guy. Whoever gets open is getting the ball.
Yeah, and I mean – There were subtle concerns last year with Colton and then seeing where his development was going to go into this year. But I've been hard on him, but I'll give him his flowers now because he's also maturing, and that's Decker. I think the offense is just as a whole maturing. I think he's figuring out how this conference is running their defensive schemes, and he's matured and he's performing as well with these play calls. And then that Colton's just a byproduct of it. Side thing, I did a little bit of digging this morning before hopping on the road to get back up here. And now it's not an FBS opponent, but the last time we held a football opponent to less than 200 total yards and our quarterback threw for 300 yards was all the way opening night against Duquesne in what, 2012. And our boy who was at the game last night, let me just read you his stat line, threw the ball 63 times. So those days are over. 41 for 63 for 492 yards and four touchdowns. So it's been a while since our defense has performed as well as they have been, and we have a quarterback throwing for over 300 yards. So, again, like I said, opening up the show, it's great to have football like this again in Norfolk. So hope people show out
and understand what we have. Right and here. Truly one of the best quarterbacks in the country right now. Right now, Colton is rated the fifth best quarterback on PFF for his player grade in all of college football. Pretty impressive. I said it earlier, Tre'Quan Jones is the third rated running back in the country. And then the receiving core, we talked about those big three. AR is number one, Ja'Cory is number two, and eighth is Trey Brown. So in the conference. So we have three of the top 10 receivers in the entire conference. It's just a beautiful thing to see, something we've all been waiting for a very long time.
I hope that that warm weather podcast is listening to this episode.
Oh, those were the guys at the beginning of the season that said we didn't have any receivers. And I called them out. And I told him, Ricky said this was his best receiving core ever. And they said, where did he say that? I said, yeah, it said at a golf tournament. He goes, well, I don't believe it unless it's in print.
Well, believe it now, bros.
Well, I know, like, me and Mike, when we did the preview on my show, and then on my show, we talked about the receivers. Like, and I think, what I said was, I can't tell you who's going to be number one, but there's, like, several guys that are really, really good and really, really deep. That it was the most talented and deepest wide receiver unit that Ricky Ronnie has ever had at Old Dominion. And like, we're seeing that come to fruition. We saw it in practice. So it's good to see it in a game.
Yeah, it really is. Aaron, is this a good time to shout out Afterglow, check in on Fade Gary, what he's got for the next week, and then start talking about our big trip to Huntington?
Let's do it. I'll see you guys after the break.
What's up, Monarch fans? Gary here with your Fade Gary picks for week 7. Another 1-2 week last week. If you've been fading me, congrats. You've been profitable the last three. Down to 11-10 overall. So hopefully going 2-1 or 3-0 this week to get a few more wins in that win column. Start out with Cincy -10 against Central Florida. This line's been going back and forth between 9.5 and 10.5. I like Cincy all the way up to 14. They're legit in the Big 12, and they just beat Iowa State at home by 8. Can't tell me that Iowa State's only 2 points better than Central Florida right now. Second game we're looking at, going out west, Michigan at USC, taking over 56.5. Get this total while you can. I think it's going to steam up to 58.5. I like it as high as 58.5, maybe 59. USC's coming off a bye. Lincoln Riley has his offense right after a bye. Third and final game going to Death Valley. The South Carolina Gamecocks plus 10 at LSU. 7:45 kick. It's going to be crazy. I like this to be a low-scoring classic SEC matchup coming down to the final drive. Good luck this weekend, and go Monarchs.
All right. I don't know if you guys have been tracking Gary this year, but he's been pretty good overall with his first year as a public prognosticator in the betting field. All right, this week we play Marshall in Huntington at 3:30, and three of the guys on this show will be there. I want to first start off, before you start talking about this game, what is the one thing you're most looking forward to with this trip, guys?
Well, for me, it's just like going. I've never been to Marshall. It's kind of a bucket list place. To me, like, Marshall is one of the, like, from a history perspective, it's like, it's just awesome, amazing. So I just want to see, like, the various memorials that they have there. Experience Marshall. I've heard it's a really cool place. And, like, that's probably the things I'm most looking forward to. Obviously, I want the Monarchs to win. But just kind of, you know, taking in Marshall as a whole is, like, what I'm looking forward to.
I got so many things I'm looking forward to. I mean, first off, I love road trips, especially when it's with the guys, of just being able to hit the road, have a good time, kind of forget about some of the things that are going on in the world, and all about, you know, just fellowship and football. I'm looking forward to hanging out with our buddies up there at Marshall. Russ and Katie, hopefully get to see those guys and hang out a little bit. Always so welcoming, and especially on this trip. And just like Justice, you're talking about, I too have not been to Huntington, and just looking forward to kind of taking in as much as I can and taking opportunity of that, that trip to meet some Marshall fans, see the history of such a storied program. Just really, really looking forward to it.
And for me, I mean, obviously the memorial is something I want to definitely go check out and get to see how they honored the people that died on that flight. But really, I'm looking forward to seeing us beat Marshall for just the second time in our history.
I do too. And I'd be remiss if I didn't thank Brandon Johnson State Farm Agency for helping to make it a reality for us. You know, Brandon is sponsoring this trip. So, you know, make sure to take a look at him, go over to his website, but he's helping us make that trip to be able to create some content and share what's going on with fellow Monarchs.
Yeah. Great call. Thanks, BJ. We really appreciate everything you're doing for us. And we're happy to say that he will be back as a basketball writer this year. Very excited to have him back because he's pretty good at what he does. But I imagine with his attention to detail and how much he cares for people, he'd be a great person to get into business with for your insurance needs. Aaron, we've done a lot of trips together, but I don't know how many we've been on, to be honest, in total.
Wake Forest. Was that the first one? I think Wake Forest might have been the first one because that was the whole start of this whole thing.
Right.
Of Lauren basically telling us we talk too much and that we needed to start a podcast. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to go back and think about that. But they're always a great time. Brings us closer to the programs. And this one would be cool because all of our road trips, we've never, you know, we got Justice riding on us now. So it'll be interesting to see what happens on this road trip. You know,
looking forward to my first bucket.
Yeah, I was trying to think about it.
Make sure you count your hat.
And that's true. I need to put a, you know, those backpacks, those like monkey backpacks that they had to put on the kids with the, it's got the leash.
Yep.
Like I need to, or the chain wallets. Apparently I'm going to need to put a chain on my hat. Like, these things happen.
Throw an air tag in there.
Reason. That's a good idea. I mean, if I see you walking around campus with that hat, which was not for sale, I'll know it's you. And I know how to protect myself. Get my hat back.
Yeah, and they, I wouldn't be surprised if those little Coastal fans that took it and swiped over it.
We did have a rowdy little group of, I think, 12 U baseball players in the corral next to us.
Yeah, good luck to them. They were funny kids. The Coastal Crushers, I think, was their name.
Yeah.
Good luck to them and their baseball. But, yeah, Marshall. So, Marshall has kind of been up and down this season. They've gone through a quarterback change. And I think they found the quarterback, because if you look at Carlos Dorio Wilson's numbers since he became the starter, he's been fantastic. He's protecting the ball. He's getting yards. But as any quarterback, there's opportunities, right? And sharing this image with you guys, I think you'll know what that opportunity is.
I'm not a genius when it comes to these things, but it stands out pretty quickly.
Yeah, you got to blitz this kid, and you got to get to him. Mm-hmm. He's a different quarterback when he's blitzed.
The one thing we'll need to do is do a good job of containing. We saw Hudson, you know, make some runs last night, but Del Rio Wilson's much more of a runner than Hudson was.
To that point, when I was watching it back, rush lanes weren't too clean on those situations that he got outside of the pocket last night. So, great call.
And look at the completion percentages and how drastically they wane when he's under pressure and when he's blitzed. I mean, it goes from, I mean, when he's kept clean, 83.6%, that is outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the best quarterback in the country right there, probably, in that number.
But it drops nearly like 40% when he's under pressure.
Yeah, you got to get to him. If he's feeling pressure, he's going to make some mistakes. All right, going to the next thing. I feel good about this matchup because, obviously, he's a good quarterback, but our biggest strength on defense is our secondary. And this matchup reminds you of how good our secondary has been this season. They have a 93 for coverage. I'm not sure there's many secondaries in the country better than ours right now.
You want to hear something funny, Mike? You were referencing you guys were referencing the Fairweather Fans podcast. Another of their huge concerns was the secondary.
Yeah, and they missed.
Concerns assuaged?
All I know is if we're going to extend anyone right now, it should be Remington Rebstock. No matter what happens, how much turnover he has every year, the dude produces a unit that somehow gets better every single season.
Yeah.
It's incredible what he's done.
At the point where you just got to push the I believe button. And you got a guy like Jerron Manning who gets lured away. And you're like, oh, God, well, what are we going to do now? You know? And it just, like, every year, it's a reload. It's impressive.
Yeah, when they do that, when they do the coaches show on Mondays and they do, like, the little coach segment, his segment's always culture. I brought it up before, but when you got a guy like that who can just keep turning out players like this, it only bodes well for you for the next turn when it comes to where we are in college football with the transfer portal. So yeah, Mike, give him what he wants.
Looking at this matchup, there's a couple other opportunities. They're a pretty good run defense. That's their biggest strength on defense for Marshall. Obviously we're a really good run team, so that's going to be challenged this week, but their tackling numbers, not great. Their pressure numbers, not great. Their coverage numbers are not great at all. So we know if we can pass, we can run, right? So obviously the run game is going to be a concern, but if we're passing the ball well, I think everything opens up for us.
That's a really challenging combination of not having the highest grades for your coverage. Not only are you not covering great, but when you allow that completion, your tackling isn't great either. Like it seems like that would not be a very good mix.
I'd imagine part of that is they're probably gang tacklers like we are, where maybe the first couple guys that get to the ball carrier don't finish the tackle, and then the third guy does. Because our tackle numbers don't look great. But has there been a game where you thought we were tackling bad?
No, but our coverage numbers are great, so it's not the two they together.
Right.
I mean, the worst game from the defense was the first game, right, against Indiana. And, like, I don't know that it was bad. It just a lot of those long runs from Indiana looked like, to me, they were results of holds that didn't get called. But, you know.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. Offensively, obviously, Coastal Wilson will be the concern here. We got to stop him, but it's not like he's playing with a lot of dudes here. This is not a pretty offense. Like their grades are not pretty.
No, Michael Allen's kind of been the guy that's kind of stepped up lately to help him out, the running back. But they've got a plethora of running backs they've used throughout the season so far.
I don't want to look too much
hard into Aaron.
The Louisiana game, but Louisiana's been hit by the injury bug, and they have put 260 on the ground against them. And they're also the top third rush offense in the conference. So, again, I don't want to look too much into it, but if Catravion can have a game that he had last night there, and we got a thunder and lightning situation going on, those boys are going to get tired and be sore come the third quarter.
One other thing to note about that Louisiana game was Louisiana's O-line is where most of those injuries are. So they had backups at almost every spot on their O-line, and we're still able to run effectively against Marshall.
They lost four of their top five tackles already. So, yeah, it's
– damn.
It's bad. It's bad on the offensive line for – the Cajuns.
It's rough.
Now, looking at Marshall's pass blocking numbers, there's been some issues with their left tackle. I believe Tyler McDuffie was the starter against South Alabama, and he has had some issues.
I mean, the grades for all the tackles aren't spectacular. I haven't had a chance to watch much of their stuff, but I'm guessing that the edge has been an issue.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at this, the guards and center are their best blockers right now. So you attack the edge, and that's where your opportunities are to win the battle.
Is McDuffie the transfer from Hampton? I want to say he is.
I think so.
Yeah. He's a big guy.
But obviously,
guy.
They've like, been rotating. But they've been rotating two of the tackles. So I don't know if they found an answer there yet or if they're still looking for an answer. But there's obviously some major issues going on at left or at both tackle spots. I did want to look at this because they've had a weird schedule. Like they obviously started off the season playing Georgia. So you don't really want to look at, like, season-wide numbers for a team like Marshall when you have a Georgia on the schedule. But the rest of their schedule has been pretty soft. Missouri State is a new FBS team. Eastern Kentucky is an FCS that's – I don't know how good they are in FCS, but they're an FCS. Middle Tennessee has been bad for, like, the last, 10 years or so. And then Louisiana is obviously really beat up. So the performances here, there's a lot of concerning things for Marshall. But when did they make that quarterback change, Aaron? Was it Eastern Kentucky?
Yeah, he's played three games.
I think the first game against Georgia, they rotated him.
Okay. And then he didn't play against Missouri State.
No, correct. It was Zion Turner against Missouri State.
So, I mean, obviously they've found something on offense the last 3 weeks. 38, 42, and 51. But allowing Louisiana to score 54 with a broken down O-line is tells me we could have a lot of fun offensively this weekend.
He had 21 carries in that game, in that Louisiana game.
You can only do that for so long.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he had 13 the two games before that, 21 last game. I mean,
the hope would be that we can make him one dimensional, right? We jump out to a big lead and they have to throw the ball more.
Yeah, and I think that's also helps where kind of tells us where our coverage numbers are too, because we're going out to these big leads that we're forcing guys to have to throw the ball. If we do that here, we should be in a great spot.
Hey, Aaron, those tackle numbers that we were pointing out looking really rough. Middle Tennessee is a real reason why. Look how bad that was.
Yeah.
32.
It's flashing red light.
And Middle Tennessee is not a good team. They're one of the worst teams in the FBS.
Maybe playing in an empty stadium had their defense a little shook.
Yeah, hopefully we can keep it rolling this week. You know, the one thing that I like going forward, assuming that we can consider or continue to play this way, is there's a lot of guys on this team and the entire coaching staff who has a ton of experience with close games. We know how to win in close games, and that's going to happen eventually. I mean, I don't think it'll be this week. Certainly, likely JMU. But we've got the ability to really get out to big leads. We've seen it most of the season and then hold them. But when push comes to shove, it won't be the first time that a lot of these guys have been in situations where they're under a little bit more pressure.
Hey, just like Liberty. It's been a while since we've beaten these guys. Been way too long since we've beaten these guys.
It has been. Yes, we owe it to them. So the spread opened up this week at 12.5, and it's already moved to 14. So it's another fast mover for the third week in a row.
Well, I mean, I saw several comments today where a lot of folks were commenting how much money they've won on the Old Dominion spreads this year.
Oh, really? Around the country?
Yeah, yeah.
This team's a cover machine. Feed the monster. I'm telling you, put that on a T-shirt. I'm bought into that. Thanks, Beck. Appreciate you. You did something good.
Yeah, we're 4-1 against the spread so far this year.
And the one is the loss Liberty game. Being
Liberty. Yep. And that was, I mean, that one bad kick away from covering.
Well, and the fumble. 5-0. The fumble, like, that really wasn't a fumble. That was a touchdown. The weather sucked. Yep. There was a lot of things in that game, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this week. Getting on the road with you guys to go watch Old Dominion play Marshall. I know the Barlevs will be there. Should be a lot of fun seeing Russ. But I really have no real feel for this Marshall team.
I don't think that they're not – I mean, based on what I've seen, they're like – close to the same boat as Coastal Carolina, but you know, a team at home, you know, it's always tough. But yeah, they're not a good team this year.
So I'm going to ask you guys, yeah, just like Coastal was, I'm going to ask you guys a question. So at the very beginning of the season, we said that we didn't think we'd know what this team was until after week four, after the Liberty game. And then last week, we kind of took a step back and said, okay, well, I don't know if we're still, if we know yet. We're not really sure. But after the Coastal game, I think we'll know what we have here. So my question is, do you guys know, you feel confident that you know what we have in Old Dominion?
Yeah. I mean, I do. I put a lot of money down on ODU to win the Sun Belt back in August. So I felt that way then, and I've nothing's changed my mind.
Yeah, this team is a pound you, throw on you, swarm you, smother you, and it's been proven. I mean, again, there were all these uncertainties, but we had the vision, and it's all coming to fruition now. I think everybody knows who this team is. And that's why you're starting to see a lot of people talking about us outside of our little realm. That's why the coaches poll should be over the AP poll, in my opinion. But that's a conversation for another day. Yeah, I feel good. I feel really good about this team.
Is that one lady still so Aaron, voting, the one that she said that she didn't even know how she voted or whatever? Does she still have
an AP voter? Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Mike.
But to be fair, most coaches don't know how they're voting either. They have a GA do that for the most part.
That's 12 smart GAs then.
13 votes, baby.
13.
I did look. Yeah, I looked at all the connections that Ricky had in the coaches poll. So you have James Franklin is a voter. Signetti is a voter. Tim Beck is a voter. Jamie Chadwell is a voter. Charles Huff is a voter. Also his best friend, right? So I would imagine that we got some votes from those guys. But back to Aaron's question. I think I know where he's alluding to is we've talked about this. Like, all right, we play Indiana. They're a college football playoff team, and they still look like a college football playoff team this year. Not really sure what you could take away from that game. We play an FCS team, destroy them. It's an FCS game. We play a Virginia Tech that quit on their coach and gets fired the next day. Then we play, Liberty, who is not playing their star quarterback and looks just kind of lost in a storm. And then we play a Coastal Carolina who looks like they may have quit on their coach.
Yeah.
But I don't think any of that gives me any doubts for how good we are. It just shows you that a record like this sometimes requires a little bit of luck with how the chips fall when you play a team. I thought last year's team was very good, and we got unlucky when we played teams. Like, had we played JMU like a couple weeks earlier, we probably smashed them. It's just that's how seasons go, and each season is a different story. And it's why I'll keep reminding fans to just try to enjoy this as much as possible, because we could be looking at a completely different team next year with completely different opponents and completely different circumstances. Nothing is guaranteed. So enjoy this ride as much as possible, because we don't know when we'll get a chance like this again. Hopefully, absolutely, we're building something where this becomes a juggernaut, but that's not guaranteed. So just try to enjoy it.
Yeah. So if you're on the message boards and you can't celebrate the awesome football we're seeing, but you're more concerned about bitching about stupid stuff, like, yeah, we know the announcer is not exciting. We've talked about that a lot, okay? To complain about the howitzer or whatever artillery that we have now, that it's not as loud, whatever, stupid. Complaining about a flyover that doesn't happen. Well, it didn't happen because the government shut down. Stop complaining about dumb shit and celebrate the cool stuff. The cool stuff that is like the steak on the plate, and you're complaining about the bad carrots or something.
I don't visit the most message boards very often, but the one thing that I've heard, and like, and when people have said this to me, I tell them, like, you in today's football, you can't worry about these things. But, like, they're like, oh, well, we're not going to be able to keep Colton. Maybe that's true. Maybe that's not true. I don't know. I mean, but in today's world of college football, that's the reality of the situation, right? And it's the reality for everybody. And so, to y'all's point, you have to enjoy the moment while you have it, because, you know, next year, to Mike's point, could be a completely different roster. I mean, just for the sake of argument, let's say we make the college football playoff. How many guys do you think are going to be, you know, get, you know, a lot of money to go somewhere else? It's going to happen. But at the same time, we need to be able to live in the moment and enjoy it while we have it.
It's not even that, Justice. How many schools do you think are going to be calling Ricky if that happens? Right. So enjoy this while we have it. You know, don't worry about the what ifs or the could be's. Just live in the moment, show up, make noise, be part of it. I mean, this could
be. You know how you can enjoy it, Aaron? You know how everyone can enjoy it and celebrate it?
By grabbing one of these beers from Afterglow?
That too, but join in the pride. Join the pride, stop complaining, enjoy it, be a part of it. It's a fun time. I'm up here in Northern Virginia. I remember, not to give them a little publicity on this podcast, but when JMU really started making their run, you see all these stickers getting up on people's cars. You see all these flags going up. I have seen more ODU stickers in the last 2 weeks on cars than I have ever seen up here in Northern Virginia. Seriously. I just bought a flag to put outside my house because I got a few Tech fans that live down the street. So Halloween should be fun. But no, that's how you can celebrate. You physically, as fans, as donors, as alumni, wear it with pride. Enjoy it. And I think everything will happen organically. No more rain on chance, but organic stuff.
Man, now you're going to get me started on that. Yeah. Y'all cool. Know how I feel about that.
Hey, Aaron.
Forced. Oh, yes.
Hey, Mike, Aaron. One more important thing about the howitzer.
Yeah.
Hey, important thing about the howitzer. We own it. If we didn't, there wouldn't have been any cannon there yesterday because that would have been part of the shutdown.
Yep.
Which is the reason why we changed to this pop gun or whatever you want to call it. This ODU cannon. It's
like a cap gun.
We had years where we just didn't have a cannon at all.
That's true. Hey, it's, you know what? I almost forgot, Mike.
That's what people miss.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we're not scaring wives and shaking babies. But I almost forgot. We had one call this week because obviously Garrick didn't call because he's going to be on the show. But this call is from a guy who is savoring and enjoying what we're seeing with Old Dominion football.
What's up, boys? It's Gary. Dominating night last night from ODU, all phases of the game. Colton Joseph was a beast. He had receivers making catches all over the place. Just an awesome, awesome game. Gave our kickoff and punt coverage teams a little bit of crap on Wednesday during the live. So I got to shout them out this week. They were awesome. They were fast. They were violent. They were putting the beach chickens in the dirt pretty early. Go Monarchs.
I think that's the first reference to beach chickens in this episode.
Hey, I finally saw Gary for the first time. I thought he might have been turned into AI and you guys were just, you know, forcing something that he didn't exist anymore. So good to see he actually exists, seeing him yesterday.
Yeah, he's a lot busier with work these days, making the show a lot harder for him to do, a lot more travel. So he's kind of more the baseball Olympic sports guy now. But yeah, yesterday was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun when you can have an Afterglow beer, too, to Aaron's point earlier. They got the regular beer that just got released. If you haven't tried it, it tastes like a Michelob Ultra with a lot more flavor. So that's a positive thing.
That's a great name.
Kolsch Ricky is a good one, too. I like that one as well.
I think it's a good seller, too, at 11:55 a.m. On game days. We're gonna have to make sure to pick some stuff up to bring with us to West.
I'm doing that. Yeah. I talked to Josh yesterday. I got it in the works. Please. I'll go by probably tomorrow afternoon.
Cool. So you know what you guys do now.
Predictions.
No, I was going to say, you got to buy Afterglow beer. You got to support ODU. Go to games. Buy BJ's Insurance.
That's right. Brandon Johnson Agency.
Become a member of the Pride.
Join, subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Yes.
Like, comment, share.
Turn the notifications on.
Yeah.
Hey, for all those people who,
all right,
I mean, I'm part of that crew, but when it comes to complaining about only 4 hours of tailgating, next game's your one and only chance for an extended period of tailgate. Lots open 5 hours earlier, typically. Probably have the parade around 10 o'clock. Who knows what the game time will be. What, that gets announced tomorrow?
Next Monday. I think it's 2 weeks.
No, JMU will be announced tomorrow.
JMU will be announced tomorrow. So
yeah, 13 days, right? You know what it typically is?
It's almost 2 weeks.
But keep in mind, extra tailgating time. So next home game, lots better be full. Butts in seats before kickoff. Let's fill the castle.
Yeah, I'm wondering what we're going to do this week with 7 hours of tailgating. Like, that's a little bit scary.
Hey, it's a marathon.
Hey, just go with the flow, Justice. We'll figure it out. We'll find our way.
we will definitely do that for sure.
Hey, you know that air tag situation? You might have to put one on Mike.
Hide it in.
Where'd he go? Find Mike.
Yeah, I'm a roamer. All right, prediction time. I think we got to give our guests the first crack at this. So it'd be the first time Garrick has done a prediction on the show, so we'll give him the floor first. What you got, Garrick?
Yeah, so looking forward to being added to David's little recap maybe after the Marshall game. But, I mean, what, 2016, last time we beat them, I got it up here. Our largest margin of victory was 24-38-14 in 2016 in that win, that lone win. So, you know what? With Louisiana putting a 50-burger up on them, now I know that's double overtime. 47-17. That's what I'm feeling. Might be a little close going into halftime, but then little adjustment. Like I said, I feel like if we get some thunder lightning going on, their defense is going to be pretty sore, and we're just going to open up a can of whoop-ass there in the second half, kind of like what we saw in that NC Central game.
All right, I like it. All right, Justice, what do you got?
I'm going to go 43-10. I think the offense will start off hot, get them in a position where they can't run or won't run as much, and then the defense will pin their ears back. And, you know, as we've seen, getting pressure on Carlos is a good recipe for success. So I think it's going to be ugly early, and then much like Coastal Carolina, we kind of call the dogs off early and we see some other guys get some playing time.
All right, Aaron, what do you got?
It's been working the last couple of weeks, so I'm not going to give a score. I feel that we're going to win by 3 touchdowns. Quinn Hennicle is going to get some more run. I would love it to be so far that Ryan Huff gets a little run too. That would be nice. Give some of our own linemen a chance to take 5-6 minutes off. Monarchs win by a lot. Keep rolling. And the game at JMU is going to be massive for the Sun Belt.
Yep.
All right.
Mike.
That leaves me. I like Old Dominion to win this game. I am just a little worried about Carlos Del Rio Wilson. He is a runner. This is going to be the first true talented thrower runner we've seen this season since Mendoza, really. And I think he's going to give us a little bit of fits and some issues, but I like us to cover, let's say, 36-21. It's going to be a high-scoring affair, I think. We hit the over. We cover the spread, and we win, and we start talking about the biggest game of the season in Harrisonburg.
That'd be a really fun trip. We got a great bus for that. We have an ODU fan bus that's going to be going. It leaves from Virginia Beach. It stops in Mechanicsville to pick up any Richmond peeps. But if you have not gotten your tickets yet, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, because I don't know if it's going to go out on Monday or Tuesday, call Venture now. Pause the episode. Call Venture. Get your tickets because you're not going to be able to get them anywhere except on the open market, and they're not cheap. So jump on the bus with us. Relax. Let's have a good time. On the way back, we'll celebrate what essentially if what we think is going to happen this week, and if we're able to secure the victory in Harrisonburg, I mean, that's likely your Sun Belt East champion right there.
Yep.
Really had a chance to put some distance. And oh, by the way, we'd be bowl eligible in the middle of October. When has that happened?
And the other thing it does is by the winner of that game gets the Sun Belt championship game at home.
Yep.
I also want to say this. Afterglow, the watch parties will still remain and be going on despite me and Aaron being out of the state and at the game. So if you're not making the trip to West Virginia, go hang out at Afterglow. It's always a great time. It seems like the crew is growing each time we have a watch party there. So I'd like that to continue. But I'm hopeful it does, even if we're not there.
In addition to
it's a great place to watch football.
In addition to the watch party this Saturday, it's also their Oktoberfest event too. So you get a 2-for-1.
What I'll say is I don't know if Nash is making that road trip, but if he's not, man, shout out to you, dude. Keep bringing your energy. You are going to have to carry the watch party and being fired up. So let us know. Be posting that stuff. Tag us on social media. Take some videos. And we'll be doing the same thing.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Garrick and Justice, for joining us today. And thank you, Aaron, for bringing your energy. Can't wait for Saturday. It's going to be a blast. Go Monarchs.
If I find you with my hat, I'm taking
it. Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs, baby. Rain on.
Hell yeah. Beat Marshall. Marshall. Thank you.